day.
I didn't think I would be this excited to get food.
I've been in the house every day, day and night with the baby, so you know I'm excited to go back to work.
Dig it out from underneath Sandy, part of the woes that hit the East Coast. The other is, how are we going to vote? And that might have been solved. A solution came up over the weekend that included emailing and faxing. So that's a possibility for the people in the East who are hampered by trying to pull their lives back together. I think the storm, which everybody knew was going to pack a serious punch, I don't know that people thought that we were going to see the Ferris wheel of Seaside Heights or the roller coaster in the water and sand everywhere as far as the eye could see and the rearranging of the beach. So the fact that you have some people excited to get food and excited to get work, that's a good thing. A lot of folks in the East Coast are trying to help each other out. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, and that's just a little tiny bit of what we're going to talk about during this hour. Of course, the election game on. This is it. The last 2 days, the last of the campaigning after all of the conversations, after all of the debates, after all the arguing, it's all over. But the voting and the counting of the votes and wondering whether or not we're going to know who the winner in the presidential election anyway is on the 6th, or will that get pushed off in a different direction? Even in New York, they're talking about extending voting one extra day. So people are concerned about being able to vote. And if you look at that in one way, that's a good thing, because everybody now wants to vote. So maybe we'll have an incredible turnout on the 6th and shatter election records. It's always mind-boggling to me how we live in a free country, greatest country in the face of the earth, and we have free elections. We might get frustrated. We might not like the choices that it's boiled down to, but we have free elections. Nobody is pointing a gun to our head and forcing us to vote in a certain direction. Nobody is making us stuff the ballot box. So if people want to go out and vote, I think you got to be able to get the vote to them. And in New Jersey, they're talking about that, going out in trucks with voting machines to make sure that people have the chance to vote. Now, they'd be operating off a generator, so they would be able to do that as long as the generators were going on. And they're also saying that people now can vote through email or through fax. They get a ballot that would be sent back to them through email or fax, and then they just have to get it back. They have to get it back by Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Of course, that then would have to be entered and counted. I wonder how many people would actually do it that way, but maybe there's a chance that that could happen, because you could have a setup and have everybody in the neighborhood do it. In Staten Island, certainly they're concerned, and in so many of those Jersey Shore towns, that's some of the worst of it. Depressing to find out earlier in the day that FEMA was out of water. They couldn't deliver any until Monday. Thank goodness some other people stepped in and handed water out, like Budweiser. They started distributing water, because that is a massive problem. There may be up to 40,000 people displaced by the storm. They have nowhere to go, so they can only go into the shelters for so long. Then they're going to have to be on the hunt for a place to live in the city or in boroughs that are pretty expensive. So no, it's not going to be easy for all the people displaced. And I think this is part of that devastation that maybe wasn't that evident when Sandy touched down, because the effects of that storm were well beyond let's measure what category it is. It was incredibly vicious and took out a lot of homes and people, too, by the way. Over 111, they're talking about at this point. 1.9 million people, give or take a few, are still in the dark, struggling around to try to find light, or maybe they have light, but not a lot of it. So there's concerns over darkness. There's concerns over where are they going to house, where are they going to be, what are they going to do with their family if they're out of housing. And it's nothing but questions right now, questions that have to be answered. And here we are, like I said, New York hit much harder than people thought. And there are subtle hints at extending Election Day up to maybe 20 days. So you start to do the math on that, and we could be talking about, by the time, if it's razor thin, by the time we have all the ballots in, at least on the presidential side, we'd be talking about a pretty long time, deeper into November, before a winner is actually declared. Kind of reminds me of the hanging chads that hung over our heads for way too long. But if it really is just that close, if it is razor thin, then you can bet they'll have to wait to make sure all the votes are counted in the various electorate districts. They're going to have to wait. That's what they're going to have to do. The New York State Board of Elections saying it's possible that they might push it beyond Tuesday because they're so worried about the amount of people who might not be able to vote. And they're saying that the law actually allows the commissioners to create a second day of voting if the turnout in any county is less than 25% of the total number of registered voters. Typical turnout is about 60% in most areas. So if they don't get it, the areas that were the most, I think, torn up will probably get that, the counties anyway, would probably get that extension, which I think is a good thing if they can't get there. If they can't get to vote, why not hold it? But it goes to the postponement thing if it's too close to call. All right, if you have any stories about Sandy with family or yourself, please share them with us. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. I'll tell you about my family. My mother didn't, in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, didn't have power out and didn't have tree problems or any of that. But not far from her, there were trees down on major highways. There were houses, lots of them, without power. In Philadelphia, I had two friends who lived in different parts of the city that lost power, had to wait for 2 days before the power came back. But it did come back after 2 days. They didn't have a lot of severe flooding, but were right around the corner from one of them anyway, where there was a lot of flooding, so much so that, and this shows you how weird sometimes a storm can be, that in the very beginning, somebody was out there with an inflatable kayak actually floating around and trying to see if people were okay. We did see this scene in some other areas like Seaside Heights and parts of Long Island, but we hadn't seen that too much in southern New Jersey. We saw it on the northern part, but not so much on southern New Jersey turf. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Coming up, we can count. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tonight, how you doing in those nooks and crannies? We have another version of We Can Count. We Can Count. How many people are in the dark? Boy, they hope that number shrinks for sure. And how many newspapers have made the switch? You know, that whole endorsement thing for whatever it's worth? Some of them actually have jumped camps. What's up with that? So we'll get to that in our next segment, but let's go to Jerry in Montreal. Like Jerry, you can call in and throw in your 2 cents. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Hey, Jerry, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. What do you think? Throw in your 2 cents on this.
I'm a statistician, so I question, first of all, I think the national polls don't count. I think you have to look at the individual states.
Mm-hmm.
And because because it's electoral college, so you have to look at the individual states. And from what I've heard, in order for Romney to win, he's got to win them all.
Yeah, he's got to
win all the toss-up states.
I think he does too. I think he has said, when I say clear the decks, clear the board, he has to hit those numbers. How is he going to come up with the 270?
I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's, from what I understand, he's losing in Ohio. He's probably going to lose Florida because of his Medicare thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to cost him. And he's already lost one vote here.
Are you voting absentee?
I voted in Virginia, absentee, of course, because that's where my late wife and I lived.
Yeah.
And so...
Let me ask you this question. This is good, because we've had lots of people, I always say, had lots of people that have voted for Obama and lots of people that are voting for Romney. What is the deciding factor for you? I mean, what was it that this is it, it's got to be Obama because what?
I particularly don't like the Republicans. I think I think there's first of all, he's not towing the line for the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're very happy with him, but they had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. They both have been flip flopping, but I think he's done a little bit more of it. And I tend to be more liberal.
That they're all good reasons, Jerry. We'll see if you're right. A lot of people feel exactly the same way, and I agree with you 100%. As you say, you're about the numbers. Great caller. You're about the numbers, and I agree with that. It is all about the numbers. For leave all the emotion out of it, if Romney was going to win this thing, he has got to clear the decks. He's got to get 270. So where do you come up with the 270? How much of what Obama had before will he have again this time? And notice that also Jared said the flip-flopping on both sides, and I agree with that. The flip-flopping on both sides has been crazy stupid. I don't get that. I mean, maybe I do, because here's what happens. You get swept up in all the politics. You have the handlers around you. So for Obama, he has David Axelrod, Robert Gibbs, and a slew of army of other people. And that's what they're doing. They're looking at things. They're reading things. They're watching what people are saying. They're looking at trends. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes up with something different. You say one thing, and then 3 days later, you're saying something different. I also agree with what he said. And all of you who are supporting Romney know this, too. Romney was definitely not the choice of a lot of people. How many people called this show and were furious because they liked Ron Paul? They liked what Ron Paul had to say, but he had no chance of winning this. He didn't have any chance. People would say, "Oh yes, he does." Who, you know, they can revolt and they can go, you know, ask for the count on when you go to the convention. But we knew that was just not going to happen. I used to get crucified when I said, "We know Romney is the guy. He was the anointed person. He was the best of the lot." So the Republican machine thought, and that's why he became their clear choice. Because they weren't going with anyone else. He was the guy, unless somebody came out of nowhere and rocked the house, and nobody did that. Nobody did it. So it's Romney, and there are a lot of Republicans who are not happy with Romney. So somebody said to me the other day that they couldn't stand Obama. That what did he do in the 4 years, and blamed Bush and did nothing for the economy. And this was someone who's a Republican, and the Republican said to me, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people are whining about Romney. Ugh, Romney this, Romney that. But is a little bit of Romney better than the whole Obama? And he was saying he was trying to persuade people who didn't want to vote that this is it. I mean, he's the choice, and so that's the choice you have to make, or not. But do you like three things about him? You know, do you ever like 100% about any of the candidates? And that's something we talked about early in this race. If you could just pick three things that you thought were important in a president, what would those three things be? And are you seeing this in either one of these two, or any of the candidates that have been flopped up for that matter along the road these last two election cycles? That's why I still really believe that a third party would be great. If we could get a third party, and I know there's arguments for why that can't happen. Oh, that can't happen, and that, you know, it's not realistic. I think it's realistic in the future. It depends on how younger people push politics in the future. In other words, if they're disenfranchised, maybe they're more conservative, and so they would really be more Republican, but they just don't like a lot of the things in the Republican Party or enough of them. So they've got to find a different way. And the same thing for somebody who maybe, quotes, leans a little more Democratic. I think that it's going to look different. 20 years from now, are you kidding me? I didn't used to think that there would be a third party in the near future, but I'm thinking it more and more that we may see that. For this election, though, clearly you have two choices, presidential, president-wise. Either, and of course you could always write somebody in, but you have Romney or Obama. And the bottom line is what was asked on the campaign trail months and months ago. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Because people definitely take politics personally. It really is about what's in your wallet or what's in your future or what you think can happen in your future versus what could be limiting to your future. And, you know, frankly, you hear Romney saying, get off the government, get off the back of the government, and we don't need to depend on the government, blah, 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 blah. And the other side, completely opposite. So are you big government? Are you smaller government? It's pretty obvious which, you know, the two directions you have here. Now, Sandy kind of throws a monkey wrench into it a little bit because people are asking themselves, has the response to Sandy been good? Has this been adequate enough? And from what I understand, the people in Staten Island are furious with the response because they hadn't even seen FEMA, and their houses weren't even standing anymore. They were standing in water. So people were just fuming there and could not be consoled. So their votes may change a little bit. The mayor of New York, Mayor Bloomberg, finally made his way out to Staten Island, and it's lucky that he had people around him because there were people that just cursed him out. They were furious with New York's response to Staten Island, how it was all about Manhattan, and it wasn't so much about what was going on there. And you think about Staten Island, and you know what? Staten Island is your blue-collar people, the good, hard-working cops and firemen that live on Staten Island. And here they were kind of, it is true, left in the lurch compared to what happened in Manhattan. So Bloomberg decided to do an unannounced visit, and I guess he wasn't expecting that he was going to be treated that way, but the people there just lashed out at him. He would have been better to send somebody else from the mayor's office because it had been too many days and they felt completely neglected by their mayor, by the city, by FEMA, by everybody. And boy, they want to vote. From hell or high water, they want to vote.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Not seven, but hundreds of marathon runners who were in New York City from all parts of the world to race in the world's biggest race, then found out that it was canceled, decided instead that they would run to Staten Island, but they would take supplies. Bravo to all of those people. Because Staten Island was so cut off, boy, could they use those supplies. So what did they bring? Blankets, food. They also got water. And you got to give them credit. Instead of feeling sour grapes over not realizing what was happening with Sandy and thinking that the show must go on, because it certainly was looking that way, they decided to do something to make the people in Staten Island more comfortable. So when it was canceled, instead of crying over spilt milk, the number was too much to count, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 or so, decided that they would still run instead into Staten Island, throw on their backpacks, and take whatever they could to that area, and give them the blankets and food and all the things, batteries and sweatshirts and peanut butter sandwiches, whatever it was that they could carry to deliver to the folks there, which was, I'm sure, a sight for sore eyes, since many of the people were suffering from exhaustion and frustration, standing in gas lines that were ridiculously long. And it just gets worse and worse in Staten Island, so bad that when the mayor decided to go out, as we were describing earlier, people just absolutely creamed him, not concerned whether he was the mayor or not, but concerned that people were dying in Staten Island, bodies were being found, and they needed help. They needed water, they needed shelter, they needed somebody to do something about the traffic and somebody to really seriously lend a hand. So the realization there is, turn to the marathon runners and look what they did. And other people from as far away as Connecticut dealing with their own woes, who decided that they would come into Staten Island if they could and deliver supplies. And the number there also was too big to count. The few that could get in would flip open their trunks and would have them loaded with the food and the blankets and things that they believed, the batteries, the flashlights, things that they figured people couldn't get. How about this? The U.S. adds 171,000 jobs, so the jobless rate rises. That happened heading into the weekend. Normally, this would be a huge blowout story, and it was mentioned, and you probably could find the statistics somewhere if you were hunting around for it. But I think because of the election and because of the fact of the chaos of Sandy, so much of the focus is there and not as much on things like the jobless rate. But the jobless rate wasn't terrible news for the incumbent president, because the unemployment number is too high and not where it should be, but it didn't explode even higher. Traditionally, if we wanted to look at statistics, a president who has an unemployment rate in the sevens or the eights is going to struggle at the polls. But because of the fact that there are more jobs being promised, and that's part of the who do you believe, that has kind of shifted a little bit. It's kind of shifted a little bit in some ways. Another thing to talk about when it comes to the 171,000 jobs and the jobless rate being 7.9 in October, that's up from 7.8, but still kind of a wash there, from the U.S. Labor Department, is the stabilizing of some jobs, but still others and other professions just not, you know, finding any consistency. The one areas where it has changed is construction and retail. Those were bleak areas, and they've suddenly turned around somewhat. So you had stock market falling heading into the weekend, but you had the news of the jobless, and those numbers, I don't think, favor one candidate or another. It's not necessarily a game changer, even though the number is still pretty ugly and doesn't track the underemployed or the people who just flat out have given up, who have said, you know, I'm done. Now the attention when it comes to Sandy has definitely focused on power outages and polling places and what's going to happen. About 1.9 million businesses, houses are in the dark as there's more and more pressure on the power people to restore electricity to some of the hardest hit areas because of Sandy. In New York, utilities are being pressurized around the clock to get heat and lighting to 650,000 customers. More than half of those were served by the Long Island Power Authority, which was singled out by Cuomo, slammed them, said they were terrible, doing a terrible job. In New Jersey, about a quarter of the state doesn't have power. If you remember, 21 states and almost 9 million people were affected by the massive storm. So bad news, especially in New Jersey, and bad news in New York for all of those people. 7 power substations, 6 in Hudson County, had to be restored, and that's the whole polling place thing, so that may change too. It depends on what happens with the power company, but there's a great chance some of that will end up being trucks maneuvering their way down the street and trying to get people who want to vote, or having people email or fax to get their ballots, get them back, and then make sure they're in by 8 o'clock on election day. But they would have to have access to, you know, they'd have to have access to a machine to be able to do the one, or they'd have to have the computer software, it'd have to be set up that way. And that's the thing, maybe somebody's office, or maybe they can get to it. I think it's a great idea that they can email or fax. It's just, is that easy to make that become a reality would be more my question. If it is, then I hope lots and lots of people end up voting that way, because then they get that chance to vote. I have a feeling in Staten Island, if I know the people in Staten Island like I think I do, come hell or high water, and they've been through that, they're going to find a way to vote. They're going to vote, and they'll do it. If they haven't had the chance to early vote, which probably many of them haven't, they'll definitely take the opportunity to do it on Tuesday if somebody comes into those areas, because they have, you know, in some cases a couple of rooms or the clothes on their back, and they don't want to lose any of that, so they have to kind of guard it too. That's the other thing, people guarding their stuff. Apple must be a bunch of geniuses. Well, sort of, sometimes they are. Do you know they pay just 2% tax on overseas profits? Does that make you say, wow, good for Apple? Or does that make you say, are you kidding me? 2% tax on overseas profits. I'd say that's pretty good. If I were Apple, I don't know that I'd complain about anything. 2%? What kind of loopholes are there? That's an amazing number. That's nothing. And if you look at what they paid, so if you say 2% and you look at this year, the papers that they would have filed, the iPad and iPhone group paid $713 billion in corporate tax outside the U.S. in September, to September 29th, even though they had pre-tax earnings that were more than $36.8 billion, so more than 50%. And Apple has come under scrutiny, of course, for overseas tax payments, as you had Amazon, Starbucks, Facebook, and Google caught in the same web as now Apple finds itself. So all the 5 big tech companies have been able to do whatever they can to avoid a higher corporate tax. And that's why they're doing that. Why would they do that? Why would they have all these places in Ireland that I mentioned before? A lot is being made about this 99-year-old Florida woman who voted for the first time. But it is pretty cool. 99 years old and in your first election? Wow. I saw a comedian kind of rip on this and say, who cares if somebody's 99 and voting? But I think it's actually kind of cool that she had a chance to do that. Rosie Lewis from Fort Myers got the ballot in the mail, got a family friend to register her, and credits the election of President Obama in 2008 to actually inspire her to cast her first vote. So she said she was going to vote if the Lord spared her life this time. And she said, I made it up to my mind to vote. How about that? 99 and voting. Hang with us.
Who wants wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health. Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Problems because they're trying to get to so many areas because the storm cut such a wide swath. Craig Fugate made sure he got in front of the storm to tell people, look, it's going to take some time. Here's what he had to say over the weekend.
This is a long-term commitment from the federal government that we come together as Americans to support our citizens in their time of need, and this will continue throughout the recovery process. As you get into the city in many places, it looks like things are back to normal, but people died and families are grieving. There are homes that won't be repaired. They were destroyed.
Yeah, the homes not being repaired. The thing that's so sad about the homes is a lot of them, especially in the seaside towns, were family homes that had been around for a long time. Some of them built in the 20s and 30s. Some of them built a little bit later than that. But it didn't matter whether the Jersey Shore house was a $1 million, $2 million shore house or a $150,000 house. They were all slammed. So many of them were slammed, and some were spared. But when you looked at pictures of it, it was so rare to see that. You'd see maybe a block where one or two houses were okay, but most of them just got nailed by the storm. And it was that sand that was everywhere and in everything. Sand that was down the street, and they're trying to clean that up. And the beaches are going to look different. They're not going to look the same. Many of the boardwalks, because so many of those areas, the Seaside Heights and the Long Beaches and the Atlantic Cities and the Ocean City, Maryland's, and they all lost, and of course Seaside Heights, they all lost big chunks of boardwalk. So all of that maybe eventually is rebuilt, but that's certainly lower on the list now at this point than getting all the sand out, pumping all the water out, getting the houses cleared, getting the bulldozers in, and, you know, pretty much cleaning up the mess, doing whatever they can to clear out all of the debris, because that's what's happened now. It's just debris. And the debris were people's lives and people's long-time houses and a piece of history in those families. And I think that that's the thing that is so devastating for these families, is anybody who had, of course, the loss of a son, daughter, or anyone in their family, that goes without saying. I mean, can you just imagine that? You're trying to deal with, frankly, burying someone, and while you're doing that, you're trying to get yourself put back on the, you know, putting your house back together and your life back together. And how do you do that while you're dealing with burying somebody from this storm? And there were families where a woman in Staten Island, for example, had two kids, one 4 and one 2, and that made big news, where they were trapped in a car and the kids drowned. They found the bodies of the kids, at least, thank goodness, so there was some closure. And I think she knew that that was inevitable. That was what had happened. But then dealing with the reality of that is something completely, completely different. So, you know, there's people that are, besides FEMA, thank goodness, there are people that realize that FEMA is not solving all these problems. And there's a big problem with FEMA because they have to get more funding. So now you've got, what you have is people that are, all are coming from all over the place, thank goodness, to try to help the situation in Seaside Heights and Breezy Point, in Long Island, Long Beach, in Ocean City, Maryland, realizing that FEMA is not getting to all these people. They can go there. They can hand out blankets. They can give out water. They can set up power strips. They can help people clear out a few things. And that's the terrific thing that we're seeing in the U.S. And it's not a shock, because we've seen this before. We've seen this with Katrina. We've seen this with other big, big storms. And now this is what's happening in the East Coast. And, boy, it really just, that part of the story warms your heart in a really awful, awful situation. So this is it, the tail end of this hour, talking about elections here for a second, because they're talking in New York that voters may have some new polling sites, as they're not going to be able to be where they normally would go. You know, we're creatures of habit, and when you live someplace for a long time, you go down to the local fire station or school or wherever it is, but it might not be there. So New York Mayor Bloomberg announced that 143,000 voters are going to be reassigned to different stations on Election Day because of Sandy, and they're saying that the Board of Elections is going to just communicate that to everybody they can, and pump it out there as much as possible to make sure that they touch everybody who wants to go and, you know, who wants to be out there and wants to get a chance to vote, and they don't understand where they're supposed to vote at this point. In New Jersey, because it's, some of the areas have just been so decimated that we keep mentioning over and over again, those seaside towns, there they're talking about email and fax. So somebody emails to get a ballot, they get it emailed back. Somebody faxes to get a ballot back, and that's how they're trying to work the that's how they're trying to work around the situation in New Jersey, thinking this may be another plan that could help some people get a chance to vote and make it really easy for them as long as they get it in by Tuesday at 8 o'clock. So the campaigning continues. Both Obama and Romney are headed off to more battleground states, final pitches, to see if they can persuade somebody who maybe hasn't made their mind up at this point to vote again for Obama or to take on Romney or to not do anything. I mean, I wish there was a way to really look at that statistic, because how many people, how many eligible voters are going to sit on that vote and just refuse to go either way because they're not happy. They're not happy with either choice, so they're just not. They're not going to go out and vote. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard this. You had Obama and Romney, by the way, that were at rallies way into Sunday night. On Monday, earlier in the morning, they're going to do the same thing. Romney stopped off the weekend with stops in Pennsylvania and Virginia. Both of those are huge battleground states. You all know that, because it's 270 electoral votes, and he needs every single one that he can get if he's really going to have any chance at toppling the president. And while Romney was stumping for votes, Obama was doing the same thing, and the president was at four stops in Cincinnati, Ohio, and there when he was in Cincinnati, Stevie Wonder was there, and then there was one in Colorado. That's another place where he stopped. The Pennsylvania move, and this is what the president's people are saying, the Pennsylvania move by Romney, they're calling that a Hail Mary, because they're saying he doesn't have any kind of a path to reaching the required electoral vote, so that's what he's trying to do there. The president, his final stop is going to be Monday in Des Moines, and he's also going to make some stops in Wisconsin and in Ohio, while Romney will be in Florida, Ohio, New Hampshire, and Virginia. The final event is a victory rally that's going to be Monday night at George Mason University. So who is the underdog in this one? Would have to be Mitt Romney. If Mitt Romney comes up with a 270, I think there are a lot of Democrats that are going to be really, really surprised.
Why wouldn't I want to be here? This is fantastic. This is great.
Are you or someone that you love struggling to reclaim your health? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, CEO of RNADrops.com. In 2008, I struggled with chronic fatigue syndrome, PTSD, and Lyme's. I thought that all hope was gone as I lost everything in the process. In 2009, a miracle happened. I discovered Ion and RNA Drops. 2 months after taking RNA Drops, the chronic fatigue and the PTSD had vanished into thin air. I'd like to invite you to discover RNA Drops by visiting www.rnafreemini.com today. That's rnafreemini.com today. Listen to hours of testimonials and get a free trial bottle. Pay only shipping and handling by visiting www.rnafreemini.com
or give us a call at 1-888-550-8231. That's 888-550-8231. Hurry, supplies are limited.